This class can be summarized in one biblical passage. So I'd like to give a summary of that, then we'll have a little surprise at this very important time of the year. Surprises are good, right? It's Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is the chapter right before the Passion of Christ in the first gospel. And Matthew chapter 25 is divided into three parables. Okay? Parable is a human story with a heavenly message. So it speaks about earthly reality, but there's a heavenly message. And the first is, it's a parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Then the second would be the parable of the talents. Man who was given 5 talents, 3 talents, and 1 talent. The first two used it well, and the second and the last guy decided just to dig a hole and throw his talent underneath the ground. But what's most pertinent to us is the last parable. It's the parable of the last judgment, where Jesus says at the end of the world, the shepherd will separate the sheep from the goats, and his left will be the goats, and on the right will be the sheep. Oh, yeah. And he'll say to those on the left, he said, I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a foreigner, and you welcomed me. Are you two little sisters? Are you two little sisters? Yeah. I was in jail, and you came to visit me. I was sick, and you came to see me. And then they'll say, well, Master, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and naked and a foreigner and sick and in prison? And he'll say this, whenever you did it to the least of my brothers, then you did it to me. And he'll say, out of my presence, because you didn't do anything to help me in those different circumstances. Then on his right will be the sheep, and he'll say, I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a foreigner, you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison, you came to visit me. When, Lord? Whenever you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And those, the goats, which would be the bad, will go off to eternal punishment, whereas the sheep will go off to eternal reward. Okay, what do we have in that? We have the four last things. And they are the reality of death. One day we're going to die. As soon as we die, we will be judged. Okay, whether we like it or not, as soon as we die, judgment ensues. And then there's two possibilities. There's either salvation or damnation, which means either we go to heaven or go to hell. Now, even though we're getting close to Christmas, it's good to think about that. It's a topic that most people don't like to think about. But, you know, one day, we're going to die. The last two funerals I did, the people were younger than me. I did a funeral today, and now there's a person who was born in the 50s, but I was born earlier in the 50s, no? And the one I did last Saturday, the person was about 50 years younger than me. The person was about your age, no? And the person, it was a very interesting thing because there was an article in the newspaper about this person. And they're looking all over for our church, and they couldn't find a church downtown L.A., and they tracked down St. Peter Chanel, and I said, I'll do it. So it was a little boy that that died of cancer. He was only 11 years old. The cancer started on his knee, and then it looked like there was going to be some healing. They had to amputate his leg. You know what that is, right? They had actually cut his leg off. And it looked like he was getting better, but he didn't. But even with this, Being an athlete that I am, and some of you like sports, even the kid with one leg, he learned how to ride a bike and learn how to swim. That's pretty good. I like that determination, right? Then the cancer spread all over and went to his lungs. Goes there, there's not too much hope, is there, no? But for me, I really believe that I read from three books. Okay? I like to read. I like to read when I've got time. Okay? There are three books that I read from. And it would be the book that has words and letters and paragraphs and chapters. That's called a book. Second book I like to read from is I like to read from nature. I like to read from nature. I have somewhat of the poet within me. I like to see something in nature and it makes me think about God, no? You know, look up at the starry skies, as von Bother sort of says, that makes me think about the saints in heaven. The bright stars of heaven, the firmament of heaven, those are the saints. The sun rising, it makes me think about the Eucharist that I lift up every day. The Son of God, okay? Literary license, S-U-N, of God, okay? But then there's another book that I like to read. It's the book of experiences. What that is? Experiences mean what happens in life. God speaks through experiences. So hopefully in time they'll be able to read from those three books. Read the Bible, read good literature. When you look at nature, see the presence of God. You might even ask yourself, what in nature seems to captivate you most? It's more difficult for people who live in cities. Because the Argentinians say it's a cement jungle where you're not exposed to nature as, say for example, you go off where my parents live in New Hampshire, we got these beautiful mountains and then the snow comes down, you got these rolling hills, you get the foliage season, we can see, you see a leaf that has five different colors on it. It's almost as if that leaf is a rainbow, an arbor rainbow. No? And then through experience. If you want to get me angry, Andrea, say, good luck, Father. I'll rebuke you. You know why? I don't believe in luck. Do you? Technically, it's against the first commandment. Why? Because nothing happens by chance. God never says, whoops. You're never going to come behind God and scare God, take God by surprise. No, nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by what's called divine providence. Divine providence means God leads his circumstances according to his will, sometimes circuitous paths, paths that seem to be different from us. So we're going to be touching a very serious topic, and then we're going to have a little surprise at the end of the class, and then another surprise at the very end of the class. So are we ready? Pass out the sheets. All of your pencils. Okay, while they're passing it out, I'd like to say one other thing is that Christmas, usually for teenagers and children, they think about Christmas with these words, what are they going to give me? I like to turn the tables. What are you going to give God? You hear me? Now, teenagers and kids, what am I going to get? Maybe think, what can you give God? So I've turned the phrase around, okay? I've thrown you a curveball when you've been looking for a fastball, okay? Now, what can I give to God? Maybe through others. Not gimme, 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 gimme. The egotistic trinity, me, myself, and I. That only leads to sadness, really. Okay, so ready? Let's dive into one of the serious, a very serious topic, but very real, and no one wants to talk about this except me. So, judgment. What will your judgment be like? We only have one life to live. You know that? One life. Our life is very short on earth. The psalmist says, there's a typo there. Our life, if you can maybe change that. Our life is like the flower of the field that rises in the morning and dies as the sun goes down. That's poetry, isn't it? It's from one of the Psalms. In other words, we're here today and gone tomorrow. A great saint that we should get to know, maybe you've heard of St. Augustine, puts it this way. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Try blinking just once. Try blinking just once. And that is your life on earth in comparison with eternity. Oh, short, right? A blink is pretty quick, isn't it? Okay, eternity, what is it? The concept or idea of eternity is very hard for us to grasp. But we should try to understand it as much as we can. How can we put it? Eternity means this: forever and ever 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 and ever. Never ends. You know, Our Lady Fatima said, if we meditate upon eternity, we'd be converted like that. Our Lady Fatima. Ever since I was a little child, I always liked to think about eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. It's either there or there forever and ever and ever. Wow. Pretty serious, huh? They want to go up there, right? It simply never ends. An example might be to ask you to count numbers, either forward or backwards. Whatever direction you choose, you'll never end, and there are always more numbers to count. You see the number line? You're going forward, going backwards. But if I were to tell you to count, you're probably a good counter. If you count, you can keep counting and counting and counting and counting, and you're never going to end. When you go in the other direction, it's the same thing. That's a limited analogy of eternity. No beginning, no end. Okay, so that being the case, God and us. God had no beginning, and He has no end. God is eternal. We, on the other hand, had a beginning in time. That was the moment of our conception in the womb of our mother. God willed your existence for all eternity. He loved you and had a plan for you. He formed you and modeled you in your mother's womb. In other words, you had a start or a beginning. However, your soul came into existence in the moment of your existence, and your soul, being immortal, will have no end. It is eternal. Death and judgment. As soon as you die, then you will be judged. This is an important teaching in our Catholic faith. Number one, when will our particular judgment be? You know? Okay, right down, as soon, not when, okay, better say as soon as we die. When we die, a little bit more gentle. As soon as we die. Okay, as soon as we die. And will be judged. Okay, I would see it this way. To two analogies. Even William Shakespeare said this many years ago. He said that the life is a platform, and we're all the actors in the platform of life. So we're all actors in this sense, that everything we do is being filmed. So that when you die, you're going to be giving Jesus the DVD of your life. And what's going to happen? You give him the DVD of your life and you're going to be going, it's movie time. It's movie time. You're going to be seeing the movie of your life. Is it going to be a good movie? So everything you've ever done, okay, all the words you've ever said, every word, Jesus is going to listen to that. Every action you've ever done, you're going to be seen. Every action that you should have done, you're going to be seen. All of the thoughts that have crossed your mind are going to be seen by God. All the movements of your heart are going to be seen as if it were the sun at midday. All the most secret intentions in the inner recesses of your conscience, of your heart, they're going to be seen. Now, I see you squirming. Most of you are kind of squirming like worms in hot ashes, huh? Not exactly, but you're squirming because it's kind of scary, isn't it? Kind of scary. Now, the fact that that is kind of scary, that should motivate us to change. The word is conversion. It should motivate us to change. Okay. Given that this is a very serious topic, I'm going to tell you something of incredible consolation. I mentioned this about 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to repeat it. Okay, the possibility of receiving a plenary indulgence. This is huge. Now, you receive a plenary indulgence, that means that all of your sins are washed away, as well as the temporal punishment, which means the purgatory that you might have to go to. Now, what are the five conditions to obtain a plenary indulgence? You should try to memorize this. First is you try to make a really good confession. Not a mediocre, half-baked, anemic confession, but really do it well. Make that confession as if it were going to be the last confession in your life. Really do it well. Okay, next, you go to Mass and you receive communion. But receive communion with a lot of love, with passion, with love. Yeah, got that? And then next, there's an indulgence act, which would be pray the rosary in the family or in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Got that? Hear that, Toshi? Okay, next is you got to pray for the Pope. Just pray, Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. And then, okay, try to reject sin. If you do that, you die. That's huge. 99.9% of Catholics have never even heard of that before. So there is a chance, if you want, when you die, you can go right to heaven. If I were parents, I'd take my kids to confession as often as possible, then communion, the rosary. So your kids are constantly living in a state so that when they die, they can go right to heaven. Their parents, too. Yeah. The other day, I was listening to Relevant Radio, and there was a convent of nuns, and the Mother Superior was able to see where the nuns who died went. And a nun, She died, and she wasn't really that good. And the Mother Superior saw her, she went right to heaven. The Mother Superior said, why did she go right to heaven? And Jesus said, because she took advantage of what the church offers. Hey, think about that. You take advantage of the indulgences, you can go up. Irrespective of somewhat of a checkered existence we had in our past. So take advantage of it. You hear that, John? Yeah, okay. So hopefully you'll memorize those 5 points and try to live it out. You know, that's what gives me most consolation right now. Life is tough. A lot of struggles, a lot of trials. But what this is this is, it's like the divine mercy privilege every day if you want to receive it. And the thing is, most people don't know it. If you don't know it, you're not going to get it. Okay, so let's move on. Where are we? What number? 2. What is death for Catholics? Death is the moment that you're... Oh, good. Okay. Death is the moment that your soul leaves your body. Like a clinical definition would be the brain waves stop and your heart stops beating. But theologically, death for us is when your soul leaves your body. I've gone to hospitals where they say clinically the person is dead, but I give them the anointing of the sick anyway, just in case. Body's still warm. Has the soul gone? Maybe not. Just in case. Yes. Yeah. Really, it's when God wants. You know, clinically, I'm not a doctor or a nurse, but they would say when the brain waves, they go flat, they're no longer going up and down, the heart stops beating. What I'm saying is, that is the clinical, biological definition of death. But it could be, it could be that God allows the soul to remain a little bit longer. But God is so good. I believe that God is so merciful that He gives us so many chances. No? Yeah. But it's a fascinating topic. Because the most important moment in our life is the moment we die. That will determine our eternal destiny. You are preparing yourself for death. You prepared yourself for death 50 times 20 minutes ago. Do you know that? You know, you pray the rosary, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That's a preparation. Yeah. So, we want to be prepared. We don't want to be caught off guard. Okay, next. Who then will judge me? Is it going to be Father, Son, the Holy Spirit? Anybody know? Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. God, but which person? There are 3 persons in God. Not the Holy Spirit. Do you know? Nope. Well, there's only one more to go. It's Jesus. No, Father's not going to judge, nor the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus is going to judge us. Okay, He's going to judge us. Okay, so Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who will judge me? Okay, what does the creed say? It says that He, Jesus, will come to judge what? The living and the dead. The living and the dead, okay? Got to go student here. Okay, the living and the dead, okay? This creed, which means, if you go to Latin, some of you say a little bit like credere, means to believe. So it means what we believe. We pray it at every Sunday Mass after the priest finishes the homily. Okay, is there a special biblical passage that speaks about judgment? I'll give you a hint. I mentioned it 15 minutes ago. So yes, more than one. However, one of the most important is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 26? Nope. 25. Matthew 25. Now we talked about that, the three different parables, okay? Foolish virgins, the talents, and then the goats separate from the sheep. Okay, now we're going to give an interpretation of that. Very clearly, Jesus says that he will be like a shepherd that separates the the goats from the sheep. Okay, so you got the goats from the sheep. The goats you place on his left side and the sheep on his right. Number 8. What does that mean? The goats are those who were bad or good? The bad. The sheep are those who were good, okay? So A, goats, the sheep would be B. Now what determines the bad from the good? Okay, it is clear, Jesus says, that the good would help out people. So we're going to put a mark next to those who helped out people, and those would be the sheep. Giving food to the hungry, yes or no?
Yes.
How about drink to the thirsty, yes or no?
Yes.
How about protecting endangered species?
Yes.
No. How about clothing the naked?
Yes.
How about lodging the homeless? How about visiting the sick and those in prison? Okay, those, I might put next to it, right next to it, these are the corporal works of mercy. Write that in there. The corporal works of mercy. Are any of you observant in the Church of St. Peter Chanel? Do you ever notice that we have those corporal works of mercy? Aiden, where are they?
They are, there's some by the Father Antolini's.
Confessional? Okay, so.
Right behind the choir.
Okay, go on. So, okay, what would be the ones near Father Antolini's confessional?
The spiritual works.
Nope. Those are the corporal. Those over the organ would be the spiritual works of mercy. How many are there? 7 apiece.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got 7 corporal works of mercy and you got 7 spiritual works of mercy. You know, I'd really, meditation this morning, I was thinking about that. I want to try to live out those 14. And the 8 Beatitudes. That's a proposal for the new year. The 7 corporal works, the 7 spiritual works. Now, living that out. How about giving food to the hungry? Can you prepare that for your children? How about giving them something to eat? How about providing clothes for them? How about welcoming them when they come back from school? How about, you know, getting them out of prison when they commit a sin, right? Isn't that the type of sin? Would be slavery a sin, right? You know, when I, as a priest, I interpret that in a very different way. I was hungry, I give the Eucharist. I also give the bread of the word, preaching. Thirsty, the blood of Christ. Naked, confession, and with sanctifying grace comes back. Visiting the sick and the prisoners. Sin is a type of slavery. So as a priest, I interpret it in a very different way than lay people. That's called holy orders. Okay. What about the bad? On the other hand, the bad, what would that be? Failed to help all those people in their need. You know, when we introduce, so when we start the Mass, we have the, you see the order is you have the entrance hymn, then you have the greeting, and then you have the introduction to the penitential rite. You know what the Confiteor is? That's from St. Augustine, which would be, I confess. Do you know the 4 different ways we can sin? You got 3 of them. John, do you know one? Anyone else? Toshi?
Thought?
Okay, he said it. Thought, word, you know?
No.
Omission. Yeah. Omission. Do you know what omission means?
No.
To omit? Yeah.
Do something?
Okay, give me an example.
Like if you don't feed the hungry, if
a... Okay, so that'd be omission. Or you don't go to Mass on Sunday, right? Or you don't do your studies. Or your mother says, you know, help your little sister. That's, you're not doing what you should be doing. It's a sin of omission. Okay? We probably commit more sins in that area than we're aware of. We really examine our conscience. Okay, so fail to help would be a sin of omission. Next, what is Jesus really saying to us? Jesus really is saying this. Everybody in this world has dignity, is loved by God, and should be respected. We are called to see Jesus in anyone in need. So write that in there. We're called to see Jesus in anyone in need. And to help him in any way we can. If we do, Jesus will reward us with eternal life. This is something very small, but I don't drive that much. But usually on the off-ramp to the freeway, usually got some beggar, right? You ever notice that? The 605, you got the kind of crazy guy that's been there the past 5 years, no? Usually got people that are down and out. Maybe they're drug addicts, who knows? But what I try to do, I have a bag of granola bars and I'll roll down my window and I'll give one or two to the guy. I've been doing that about the past 5 years, no? And you know, those are among the most grateful people I've ever met. I mean, hey, thank you very much, Father. May God bless you. Huh? Thank you for your blessing. Kind of like that. No? I like those people. You know, you meet these normal people, you give them something, they kind of look at you with a, These poor people. You know, probably much more grateful than we are. Who knows, when we die, we're going to see them maybe way up there and we're down here, barely getting in the back door of heaven, no? And you know, I've often thought, if I didn't have good parents, I'd probably be on the streets like them, probably worse. I'd probably be a skinhead beneath the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. Probably, no? If I didn't have good parents, no? Where would we be? So well, we shouldn't look down on people that are kind of down and out. We should try to help them. Try to help them, yeah? It could be us, no? Hey, in 10 years it could be us. We could be one of those guys walking down the street, no? With a tin cup. Buddy, can you spare a dime? Well, that was back in the 30s. Buddy, can you spare $2, right? So, do we have many chances in life? Do you believe in reincarnation?
No.
You believe in reincarnation? No. You know, reincarnation is the Eastern philosophy that you come into the world and then you die and then you're transformed and you come back in another body. Like if you're really good, you come back as a queen. If you're really bad, you come back as a toad or a cucaracha. So it depends upon how you live, no? Then the wheel spins and then you enter what is called karma non-existence and you no longer exist anymore. We don't believe that, do we? So the Eastern philosophy is cyclical, whereas the Western Judeo-Christian is linear. You're born, and these would be the different years or decades of your life, and then what happens is you die, and then there's an arrow. The arrow. You either go up or you go down. Ever been in an elevator? Notice those arrows. Some arrows go up or go down. Make sure you hit the right arrow, okay? So if you go up, that is heaven. If you go down, that would be hell. And it all depends on one thing. Are you listening? Dying in the state of grace. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Got that, Toshi? The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Yes?
What if you commit something really bad and you die? Would you automatically just go to hell?
You're saying commit a really bad sin, like a mortal sin? What do you think? Good question. If you die unrepentant in the state of mortal sin, then you're lost. But if you commit a really bad sin and you tell God you're sorry, then you're forgiven. You know, when I was a little kid, my mother taught me this. Never go to bed without making an act of contrition. Good advice. From the old school. Another very important principle is this. If you commit a mortal sin, you got to go to confession as soon as possible. But it's sometimes difficult to find a priest, even though there's a lot here. But you go out now, there's a line of 20 people waiting for Father Antolini. Okay? You have to wait an hour. Okay? It's worth it. But if you commit a mortal sin and you make a perfect act of contrition, you're restored to the state of grace there. That's huge. Everyone should know that. Now, what's a perfect act of contrition? It's not fear. It's not fear of punishment. But rather is, okay, miss Mass on Sunday, mortal sin. Perfect act of contrition is, Lord, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry because of this. You suffered and died on the cross. I love you. I'm never going to do it again. If your heart is moved in that direction with that sentiment, you're in the state of grace. Then you have to go to confession. Now, knowing that could be a matter of salvation or damnation for all of us. Because in time, you're going to be seeing less priests, okay? I'm just warning you, okay? And the fact you got a priest as a teacher is a rarity, but you're going to be seeing less priests because there's less vocations. The world becoming much more secular. You might not be able to find a priest. If you make a perfect act of contrition, you're already in the state of grace, but hit the confessional as soon as you can. Got that? Okay. We're not going to be able to finish this, so just hold on to it. We're going to have a surprise. Andrea went with her mother to the Holy Land. It was there for about 10 days, and they want to show you slide... show on the, it's a Holy Land, right? Okay, so I'll just finish it later. Yeah.